Happy Friday. It is Dakota Midday Tech Radio. I'm Keely Boltina in for your host, Kent Osborne. Today, our panel of experts is waiting to answer your tech questions. We'll chat about Amazon Prime Day and the backlash the company is getting from shoppers, hear about a free event tomorrow for IT professionals wanting to learn more about servers, and Tesla's got a secret announcement planned for 1 o'clock Central. We'll preview the potential this Friday on Tech Radio. We hope you join us in just a few minutes, but first, here are state news headlines.
Everybody out there with
good afternoon, East River, and happy 11 o'clock, West River. It is Dakota Midday Tech Radio, and I'm Keely Boltina in for your host, Kent Osborne. He will be back in August. This is the only tech radio that we've got yet here in July, so you can look forward to talking with him. But today, you have me, and we're talking with a variety of issues from Amazon Prime. We've got SQL Saturday. We've got a Tesla announcement. Lots of things in between. First, want to make sure that you know who you're talking to. We have admitted Apple expert Joel Brovelite. Thank you so much for coming into the studio at USF.
Absolutely.
And we have Amos Aesop, who is the director of IT and technical support at DataSync. Did I say it correctly?
You did.
That's excellent.
A
lot of
such
words,
a big title.
I know.
Change it to just some letters of some sort.
That so that we could just
DITS.
Right, because that would be way easier to say.
Mm-hmm. Right.
John T. Meyer, co-founder of Lemonly. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Excellent.
Always good to be here.
And we've got Jeff Litterick with the state of South Dakota on the telephone, live from Pier. Hi, Jeff. How are you today?
Pretty good. It's a nice day.
Good. Excellent. Sounds good. So we are definitely interested in what you've got to say. You can find us on Facebook. You can send us an email or tweet. Give us a call. You are welcome to find whatever way you need to get a hold of us. If you have a tech question or just want to weigh in, you can let us know how, let us know, and then maybe our experts can answer your question. Or if we don't know, we can find out at a later time. The first topic that I think we should talk about, because I've heard it from lots of people and I'm surprised about, is Amazon Prime Day. And a sort of backlash that's coming from shoppers and consumers about what happened. So Amazon Prime Day was this anniversary of Amazon Prime, and it was this opportunity where there was lots of media ahead of time that there were going to be great deals and all these fabulous things happening, and people were not impressed. Let's start with the data. John T. Meyer, you have a statistic for us, and then we can kind of move into the analysis.
Well, you're exactly right. As far as your analysis, apparently they scored big with sales. It was certainly a success. The article I had here out of TechCrunch said that they actually sold more items than they do on Black Friday. And that was their whole goal, is to try to create this new Black Friday. And that's impressive considering it only was eligible for people who were Prime members. Obviously, the entire goal was to drive Prime memberships.
Yeah, and you could sign up for free that day and get in on it.
So successful, certainly, from a sales perspective. But yes, backlash was pretty rampant on social media. Adobe, which was tracking like the sentiment analysis and how many mentions there were, said that over 50% of the mentions were negative. The 4 million social media mentions across blogs, Twitter, Instagram, WordPress, Reddit, Foursquare. So people were making fun of it. You know, like I was joking, you know, I was pretty disappointed until I saw the extra long shoehorn was 34% off.
You got to have a shoehorn.
And it's got to be extra long.
Yeah, of course.
I did see somebody on Twitter relate it to thinking that you're going to be in on this like amazing, you know, like sale, and then you find out that really it's just like going to a discount store.
Well, I got two things to say about that. First off, if you're ever thinking you're going to buy anything electronic and get like 80% off, unless it's something you really didn't want in the first place. That's just not how electronics.
But isn't that what people get up at 3 a.m. on?
Sure, but not for electronics. I mean, margins on electronics are so narrow. You know, to get 50% off on any electronics, it's either last year's model or they're selling it at a loss. I mean, margins for electronic devices range from 30%, and by margin, I mean like how much you make. If it's a $10
profit,
item, a 30% margin, you're making about $3. Usually it's down to 8%, like you're making 80 cents on a $10 purchase. That's that's usually what the seller makes, and I'm sure at Amazon it's even less. So I'm surprised that people thought they were going to get amazing, like, crazy deals.
But I think you're right, Keely. It was definitely the unknown since it was the first one, and hyped it like crazy. So I think everyone was thinking, oh man, this is going to be awesome.
Right, and then like, couldn't shop for shoes for my toddler without seeing Amazon Prime on every page of every single one. Like, it was just everywhere.
Oh, you couldn't use Amazon for one whole day? And not have an ad pop up.
Oh, we are not that many minutes in to be pulling the attitude yet.
First world problem.
The same article says that what's funny is that some of the items that that consumers complained about the most, like microfiber towels and Rubbermaid containers, or like I said, the shoehorns, is what Amazon just killed it. They sold 28,000 Rubbermaid containers, 10,000 microfiber towels. So people are making fun of them, are buying them.
And there's margin in those products. You know, home and consumer goods, you know, there's, you know, sometimes 50 or more percent profit on those. You know, you mentioned that there was a lot of backlash online and more negative mentions than positive. I don't know this, but I would be willing to bet just about anybody that any event – any person, anything, more mentions are negative than positive when you're talking about the internet, Facebook, Twitter, no matter what. All mentions on the internet negative?
Right. I mean, you couldn't pick a subject out there and not find more negatives than positives on it.
Absolutely.
People who have a bad taste in their mouth about anything are more likely to talk about it than people who are.
For sure, yeah.
You know, nobody gets on Facebook and says, "Did you see the Rubbermaid containers I bought today?" You just don't do that.
Right, totally. I used to say that when I used to work the phones. I mean, nobody called up to tech support and say, "Everything's working great.
Right.
Thanks a lot." Click. Yeah. You know, nobody does that. You know?
I also noticed, too, on some of those stats that along with the 28,000 Rubbermaid containers, or sets, actually, 35,000 Lord of the Rings Blu-ray sets. And then I think we talked about this either last time or the time before, but 4,000 of the Echo devices, of the Amazon Echo, which really is just, feeding into the whole
Amazon. Oh, boy, I wish I had five. We could talk about that later. I have one. I wish I had five more.
Yeah.
I've heard good feedback from people who really know how to use it.
We can talk about that maybe another segment.
Oh, look at that. You're just planning the show for us. I like it. Take the reins.
Yeah, sorry to derail. I know this big plan. But,
I like it. You know. I like it. If you used Amazon Prime or participated in Prime Day or have something else to contribute, make sure to email us at midday@sdpb.org or submit something on Facebook. Let us know what you think or if you had a question. I just have one other thing, and I don't know if it's for the tech people, but this whole concept of rolling out specific deals at specific times with the little countdown clock, I just don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah.
And that was really, I get why even that would make sense, because there's a limited number of products. So not only do you want to draw people in with the price, but also if you make everything for sale at the exact same time, then whoever's on at that time will, you know, see it. And
well, and you got to remember, they also have to manage their back end. They got to manage the traffic and how many sales go through at one time. If everything's for sale at one time and there's a limited amount of that, not only do you not get as many page views and people won't check back and back and back, but, you're risking. I mean, I know we're talking about Amazon with probably the biggest back end there is, but you're risking, it coming down because there are too many
people. And the difference
people.
Between 8 a.m. Central Time in Sioux Falls at a physical brick-and-mortar store versus 8 a.m. Mm-hmm. in 24 time zones around the world.
I thought it was interesting that Prime Day actually wound up going, almost two calendar days for the day before and, well into the day after.
And I did experience some slowness in getting Amazon to come up when I was there looking for things too.
So
did anybody buy anything? We haven't asked the question.
Was everybody here on Amazon on Prime Day?
Yes.
I was. Did anybody buy anything?
I did not.
My wife bought a baby monitor.
Okay.
Because we're expecting this fall.
Oh, congratulations.
And, yeah, which I don't think
I
I've said on the
say,
show
is
yet.
That is that a hint?
This is an
you
official
have to
announcement.
You have to say it after you say, my wife bought a baby monitor.
Yeah.
Because everybody's thinking it. Congratulations.
Yeah. I mean, we've told family and friends.
And now you've told
Facebook,
the state. Congratulations. Yeah,
so end of November. And that one was, what did she say? She said, I think she had a different one in mind that was cheaper, but then she saw this one was like $250 and got it for $140 or something like that. It was like
brilliant.
40%.
There was a GoPro deal that I looked really long and hard at because I was. It was a pretty good deal. It had a lot of accessories that came with it. I did, but I didn't pull the trigger on it. I just I didn't know what to do with it.
GoPro, right. I mean, relevant GoPro news this week, too. They released their newest version. I think they call it the Hero 4. It's the smallest GoPro they've ever made. It's like this. It looks just like a little,
yeah. Just a little square.
That's a segment we need to talk about is GoPro. I'm not a fan, but I watched Shark Week last week, and I'm not sure.
Shark
I
Tank.
Shark Week on Discovery. You don't know what that is?
No, I know what that is.
Oh,
No.
Okay.
The GoPro CEO has been one of the sharks.
Oh,
on
yeah.
Shark
no, I'm
Tank.
Talking about, like, I'm not sure Shark Week should be sponsored by, because almost every program had it on, but we can talk about that.
Did Jeff buy anything on Prime?
I don't know.
No, I'm actually not a Prime member at this.
Did you go to the site, though?
Oh, I did go to the site, and I had
okay.
lots of
five for five.
On the social media sites. I'd liken it to Amazon had to have a garage sale to open up warehouse for this fall's new stuff, and people bought in and emptied out their warehouses for them.
I think that's a good assessment. As I looked through the list of stuff, I'm like, whoa, they are blowing out the garbage. And, you know, everybody wants some garbage.
There was a lot of hashtag garage sale
when
people were talking about
totally.
It.
Totally.
Yeah.
Well, geez, how many? What did you say? I mean, that was the prime, like the gold box deal was the Lord of the Rings thing. 35,000? Is that what you said?
35,000 box sets.
Like, how would you have that much inventory?
And so that was like something that was available all day.
There's a Blu-ray, all four. How many movies are there? Four or five? I don't know.
The whole thing.
I don't know.
The whole thing.
Is the Lord of the Rings, so there's four of them. Is that right?
Yeah, I think four.
I haven't seen any of them.
Or I think.
Huh.
They're so old.
So it got a lot of buzz, and that's great. And it sounds like they were successful on that end. But, I mean, I didn't buy anything either.
It also took Walmart, brought them into the ring, and got them to do some promotions as well.
I think that was a big mistake on Walmart's part. Like, we'll advertise your thing for you by telling you that it's not as good so that people are now aware in our advertising channel.
Are we starting to see Black Friday and on the other side of the calendar – another major shopping day.
I think Amazon would love that because it would be called Prime Day and everybody would be getting on it.
It's not called Christmas in July. They called it Prime Day. So
I think that's great, though. I mean, why not?
It'd be hilarious if Walmart ran an ad that said, you know, like, come shop Prime Day. Like,
I know. It'd be interesting to see if they do it next year. I've heard a lot of talk that they're not going to, but the money was just entirely too good and with all the bad buzz, regardless, there was still lots of buzz.
Well, obviously, Black Friday got its name because that's when companies finally make it in the black in Q4.
It's not actually true, but we can talk about that on Black Friday.
Oh, fine.
tension. But the bottom line is, this is a big difference from even a few years ago, how online retailers were going about things. I mean, Amazon figured something out, it appears. And this is not too – I mean – it's the digital version, but this isn't just, well, my neighbor has a sale, so I'm going to put up a sign in mine and hope to lure in people. I mean, this is very different than the way a lot of retailers even now are still able to advertise, well, whether it's in-person stores or online.
Yeah, I like Jeff's assessment, though. I think he's probably right. I think it was probably as much to clear out space in their warehouses as it was for anything.
Like 35,000 Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, totally. I mean, if you'd have said, you know, they're going to sell 35,000 of Lord of the Rings, I'd have been like, you are crazy.
Right.
What will be more interesting, I think, in the long term is, I think they were also hoping to promote Prime and drive Prime memberships and stuff. I'm not sure the resulting backlash is going to do that or give them the marketing boost that they were hoping for, but only time will really tell on that. So I think they were hoping to get some good PR out of it. I don't think they did, though.
Yeah, I mean, once you're a Prime member, now we have your email address. I can market to you. I mean, as a Prime member, I still only use Amazon's always telling me all the services I'm not using. You know, hey, you can watch video. Hey, you can stream music. So they want to get your email address, too.
I mean, it all makes sense because I feel like every time in this discussion we come back to, well, it's all about the data. The more information places have on you, the better they can market to you.
Yeah, the only thing better than data is money. And, so, you know, if you can't get one, get the other.
Strong correlation between the two.
For sure, yeah.
Absolutely. Interesting. So it sounds like they did pretty well, and we can look for another Amazon Prime Day next year, I assume?
I would guarantee it.
That would be my guess, yeah, for sure. Although it'd be interesting to see if it evolves from Prime Day. They're trying to name it something else to get more buzz. Or
am I the only one that when I hear Prime Day, I'm like, shouldn't it be on March 14th? Like, I get that it's the because I heard. Am I just that much of a geek that only Amos is the one who laughed at that for me? Like, that's what
that's
I thought.
Good.
And I was
good.
Like, but it's in the middle of July. Mm-hmm. I just the correlation wasn't completely there for me. I had to figure out that it was the anniversary of this service that they convinced me to pay for each and every year.
Yeah, it should have at least been on a prime number.
Right. You know. There. See? Look at that. All of these suggestions, if they would just listen to us for a little bit.
Yeah, it's probably too deep for them, I imagine.
All right. Sounds good. Let's go ahead and take a short break right now because we've talked so much about Prime Day, and we'll come back and hit another couple of topics. And remember, you can email us, let us know what you think, or send us some questions at midday@sdpb.org, or you can find us at facebook.com/techradio. I'm Keely Voltina in for your host, Kent Osborne. And we'll be right back.
Here's a number you said.
a lot of math debate during that break.
We talked way more than in the break than we did afterwards.
There were a lot of conversations.
Welcome back to Tech Radio. Here it is Friday, and you're listening to South Dakota Public Broadcasting. We are arguing about math from the studio at the University of Sioux Falls with our panel of tech experts. We have Jeff Litterick on the line from Peer. We have Amos Asavir. We have John T. Meyer, and we also have Joel Brovelite. And I am officially making the correction that I said Prime Day should be on March 14th, but that doesn't make any sense because that is Pi Day. Of course it is. And the one who brought it up, John T. Meyer, is also the one who had pie at his wedding instead of cake, I remember.
Wow, how do you remember that?
You mentioned it on the air that day. Yeah,
Oh, no way.
Because you just liked it so much.
I do like pie.
Right?
And I have a couple friends of ours that are also married now that met on Pi Day because she's a high school math teacher. And that was like the first date they had or something like that. So Pi Day is very significant in their life. But
right.
March
Pi
14th.
Is apparently significant in many people's lives. And those people would be offended by what I saw. So thanks, Joel, for walking down that path with me and taking me to the prime number concept and making me feel better.
I mean, you were right about the prime number.
Sure.
Right?
We're gonna
seven
not
goes
at all.
In there twice.
I was not
right
at
there.
All right
that's
at all.
Okay.
But that's okay. That's part of what this is about, right? Learning, admitting when
math on Friday in the
we
summer.
We don't know everything about tech.
It's too hot for math.
It's never too hot for math.
Math is
entirely hot enough.
We have a question emailed into us that I would like to pose to you, and that is that this person says that they've talked to the Attorney General and the South Dakota PUC because they receive those repetitive telephone calls, and it's those threats from scammers saying they're the IRS, and it often looks like phone numbers from the area, and they look like legitimate places, but it just comes through. They're wondering if we have any high-tech apps, tools, or software programs that could at least block them, if not nail these scammers. And why can't the phone carriers, cell or landline, have the sophisticated equipment to trace and block these calls? Thanks in advance for any info. I do not have the answers. It's your turn.
Well, my first question is, and I don't know if they say on your very, very thin iPad there, if it's
piece of paper.
Oh, what's paper? I've never seen it before. It's such a bright screen, though.
iPad 4.
Yes.
It's easy to read.
Is it a landline we're talking about, or is it a mobile phone?
Does it matter?
Well, it does, because if they want to know if there's apps or technology, you know, if you're talking terrestrial phone line, you're a lot more limited without a bigger investment. So let's just assume it's a mobile carrier, you know, Verizon or AT&T or whatnot. My best advice is to change your phone number. And that's definitely not what you want to hear.
That is terrifying advice. I am not changing my phone number because of these
calls. Well, here's the
deal.
There's nothing wrong with changing your phone number. You just contact everybody you know. You get a new phone number.
That is so annoying.
No. I mean,
Facebook. Hey guys, I changed my phone number.
Certainly you don't do that.
Bonkers.
If it's impossible to do, then what I would recommend is seeing if you can get a new phone that can block those out. There are a lot of smartphones that have built-in apps for blocking out numbers from certain area codes, from unknown callers, and that's not an app so much as features built into a phone. If you've got an older smartphone, a lot of the new phones will let you block out, you know, area codes and all sorts of stuff. There are apps that are available. I don't know much about them because so many of the new phones have so many good features that cover that. Unfortunately, the routes that he's talking about, stopping people from doing that is just not going to happen.
The problem comes from technology, right?
Yeah. And you know, technology is the problem.
Technology
I like
is
where
the
you're
problem,
coming.
And you're looking for it. You're looking for a technology solution where technology is actually what's causing that problem. And Jeff alluded to it in the email we had prior to this show. Is that they're using voice over IP, they're using technology to mask the number, they're using technology to change the number. So even if you said, I'm going to block all 512 area codes, if they end up using some sort of service or masking that allows them to send it from a 605 number to look like it's coming from somewhere within South Dakota, you know, that's definitely possible. And again, these people being overseas, they're using the internet, they're using multiple hops or multiple carriers to go through. They're not using it, you know, it's not like you can just use the FBI surveillance band to tap that wire and find out, you know, where that number's coming from, what payphone it is. They may be in anywhere in the world, especially in countries that don't really obey our laws or responses from subpoenas.
Another one I've been hearing a lot of, and we've had some clients experience this one, if you're a small business, is people calling, a robot kind of calls and says, we want to verify your Google listing. And it sounds very much like if you don't do this, that your business is not going to be on Google anymore, which is certainly not true. And then eventually, if you click through, you end up talking to a rep, and it's like a marketing company trying to get you to pay them to increase your business's listing, you know, through search engine optimization. So I've heard a lot of people do that, but if you stay on long enough, I've found, because I've been getting a ton of them, there's usually like a press 9 to get off this list.
Does that work?
I hope so. I don't know. I'd
be skeptical to know if that actually does work.
It's better than talking to the person, but
is it?
Don't worry. I mean, of course.
Okay.
I mean,
say so.
don't
listen to the robots telling you that your listing is going to disappear from Google, because that's not going to happen.
Yeah,
and they
absolutely.
Get me to answer every time, because it looks like a number that is, I mean, it doesn't come up no
unblocked
information
or
blocked or anything
yeah,
like
they
that.
Don't
it comes
do
up
that.
Like
they
it's a number, and I think,
anymore.
Well, you know, what if something
happened?
Someone
from Charleston's calling me.
Right, or even I get one from Sturgis a lot, and it is one of those calls.
Don't you think
up.
The social contract has changed on that now, where people, when they call somebody kind of out of the blue, expect they're going to get voicemail and get a phone call back? Don't you think that, I mean, that's what I do.
Really?
If I get a phone number that I don't recognize, I just don't answer it, period. Because I just expect that's what it is. Mm-hmm. And if they
Famous
really want to get a hold of
guys?
Me, they leave a message and I will call them back probably immediately.
I don't answer numbers I don't recognize.
The only reason I do is because we do for Lemonly, we have a Google Voice number, which if our sales guy is busy or at lunch or not on the phone, then it goes to me. But if I get a number I don't know, I also let it go to voicemail.
Jeff, do you answer calls that from numbers you don't know? I think we're talking specifically like on a cell phone. I do.
Mm-hmm.
Especially not on the cell phone, but on the home line, it depends if I have time or not, because I like to play a little game with the scammers, because I just got a support one from Microsoft support, which was, you know, fake, and they were going around there trying to, you know, get you to remote into your machine, trick you into basically give up your machine to them. So my game is to use the minimum amount of time on my part to keep them on the line as long. I've actually kept one on the line for over 4 hours, and I spoke to him all of about 45
That's amazing.
Seconds.
Yeah, you know, Jeff,
that was like a filibuster.
I want to tell, warn people at home, Jeff is a professional.
Jeff is.
People, do
right.
not do this, because you might think you're having a load of fun, and I'm sure Jeff is, but again, he's a professional. But they can use that time to pick out more information. You might drop an address. They might overhear something in the background. They might have a scanner running. They might be able to pick up a local TV station, figure out your zip code. They might be running a trace on you. That probably really doesn't happen. But there's absolutely no...
That's intense.
Well, like, no, but that's all possible and all within, you know, $8 worth of software to do all of that, or just normal kind of sneaker net social networking, figuring out your last name and your wife's name and your kid's name, and just don't do it. Don't stay on with these people unless you're a professional like Jeff.
Right. As
I make sure there's no background noise except for
sure.
the stove when I'm cooking something and the phone's laying next to it.
If you're that call center person, though, aren't you?
Check on something on the computer. So,
wouldn't you appreciate like just being on one call for 4 hours? I don't know what people's quota is measured by, but
yeah.
If you're measured by like call time,
I imagine their quota is based on how much they actually get, not on how many people they call. I imagine anybody that's a scammer for a living probably has a lot over their shoulders, other than just like, well, I just got to call 9 people, and I don't care if he cooks for me.
A lot of these, especially the tech stuff, is just call centers in India. Where, you know, they hire anybody, and for them it's just like telemarketing, right? It's they really probably don't care the difference, and it's probably the same call centers that do the telemarketing. They don't really care. It's, you know, they get paid one way or another. So,
but Keely, if you take one thing from hosting today's show, it's that the social norm is don't answer numbers.
I didn't know this. I feel like I'm behind the curve.
You're fine.
It's just
that's why you have to leave so many voicemails.
You know what it is? It's you're less jaded than we are.
Is that what
it
is?
Problem. Yes, you're a much more friendly person, and we have that.
Well, I think if you asked a 16-year-old, they would be like, phone calls?
But
oh,
then,
right. That's absolutely
but
true.
There, what do you do then if you're that person who hates voicemails? And so,
well, no one. Here's the deal. Nobody really leaves voicemail. I should have said up front. Anybody who really needs to get a hold of me needs to know that already knows that they should text me.
Mm-hmm.
And I am not in the minority here, no matter what anybody out there thinks. That is the majority, and that will continue to be the majority. Text messaging, I think, is the number one form of social contact anymore.
I mean, agreed. I text people I know, but I don't necessarily text people that I don't know well. I mean, is
well,
that okay?
Well, no, I think it is, but, you know, I mean, I guess my point with that is I think more and more people expect to get voicemail if they're making an actual phone call. But I think, you know, if you're talking to a colleague, it's probably just easier to send a text because then you're not tying up their time. They can answer when they want, you know, and you get into that text chain where you send in a few back, then you make the phone call and they are already expecting it.
Wow, that is totally backrooms from my understanding. See, I'm learning so much today.
The other thing we learned, Jeff has a landline. Does anyone else have a landline?
I want one, but I do not have a landline at my home.
Why do you want one?
Because I am terrified that at some point there's going to be some sort of emergency and I'm not going to be able to find my phone because I usually can't find my phone. So I'm not going to have the ability to contact the outside world if I can't find my phone.
You have no other devices?
I mean, really, there's a fire and I'm worried about like scuttling children out of the house and you want me to stop and like make sure that the iPad's connected
well,
to the internet.
Well, and you're
going to
use
so
a phone then?
You could Facebook.
If the house is on fire, you're going to go to the landline.
Isn't it true that old phones can still call 911?
I would suggest using your neighbor's phone if your house is on fire. Yeah,
Jeff's totally right. You should get out of the house first if your house is on fire. Then worry about that.
I stand corrected yet again.
I do admit I have landline service, but it's required for me to have that in order to have my internet service. It's an add-on package to my phone, but I don't actually own a phone.
So you have the
telephone.
Service, but you don't have the phone.
I don't have a telephone, right? So does that count?
I don't know.
Maybe I'm the bridge between not having it at all and having it.
Well, they certainly try to get
that shouldn't count for anything.
I actually got a handwritten letter the other day from my soft water people who had said, we called your number, but it just rang and rang and rang and never went to voicemail.
I don't know how I don't know how people think. Like, I call, what's your home number? Come on, you're asking that question?
Well,
what's going on?
You know, to be honest, when I signed up for soft water, obviously it was, you know, 15 years ago when I moved into the house. But I actually a handwritten letter. I couldn't believe it. That has to be the first time in 15
See,
years
my,
I've gotten
my complaint living
letter.
In a state with, you know, only one area code because of my annoyance with possibly changing a number. I still have my Minneapolis phone number, which was I lived there 7 years ago. So when I go into like, say, dry cleaner or, you know, you're making an appointment somewhere and they say, what's your phone number? They usually start with the next digits 456. And so I'm like 612 area code.
Yeah, that could only happen in a state like South Dakota where they just assume the area code because anywhere else.
But that's
going to
change too, I think.
Oh, absolutely.
We have another question that came in. Somebody's wondering, will cell phones ever have thermometers to measure surrounding temperature?
Well, they already do.
Mine has one.
They already do, including your iPhone.
Yeah.
Already has an internal thermometer. It's just not directly accessible.
Well, that's not fair.
Well, why is it not fair?
Because I want to know.
Well, sure. there are apps that can access it. Mm-hmm. The problem with the cell phone thermometer is it's not entirely accurate because it measures the air around the cell phone, which could be heated because it's
because
a
of the cell
mobile
phone.
Phone.
Right.
So it's way better to check the temperature of the air using an app that actually has a sensor somewhere in the area, and there's lots of those. So,
but this is a two-year-old phone, and this has an ambient air temperature sensor.
The Samsung.
But if you want a good one, there are lots of them that you start around $20 that plug into the headphone jack and can give you kind of accurate accurate air temperature away from a device that might be, you know, unnaturally heating it, all the way to thermometers for checking, food, whether that's an infrared thermometer, like a laser, you can plug that into your phone, or a probe thermometer for meat. Those can be plugged into phones. So if you really, really want that and you want it accurate, which you'll never get on a phone, just get an external device. They're not too expensive.
And you may have bridged this in a different – did you have something specific?
Oh, I was just thinking that seems like that question was similar to what you wanted to talk about weather.
Yeah. I mean, there are so many – well, so there are a couple of things. There's one, I got my phone so hot the other day outside that it yelled at me. And I'm not going to carry around
and that, by the way,
but I don't know what to
do about it. Is why they have thermometers built in, because if it didn't, it wouldn't know
that.
That's
true. Mm-hmm.
So – there you go.
Gosh,
you're talking about the
blown at every
this device
moment.
Is heated.
Right,
please
like
cool
you can't
it
use
down.
Your flashlight yep. right now because it's still, or the flash from my camera. I took a picture with it and it yelled at me, but because it wouldn't let me use the flash. Because
yes,
the
never leave your
hot.
Devices in the sun, so. People.
It wasn't in the sun, but it was hot outside. I'm just getting overly defensive now.
So
but
weather.
Weather. Well, I'm just wondering. I was just at police briefing earlier today in Sioux Falls, and there were emergency management officials from the area, and they were talking about some of the severe weather that's happened and sirens and not relying on sirens that are outside because they're meant for the outdoors and having a weather radio so that you get the information for your area. But they also really stressed download those apps. Download apps from the National Weather Service. Let your phone push through the warnings in the area. Download the Red Cross disaster app so that you know what's happening in the emergencies in your area. And I'm fascinated by the fact that this is one of the things that they're really pushing. I don't know, is it just a recognition that people are constantly connected to this technology, so it's an easier way to get a hold of them than breaking in on the television? Or tell me about
it. Well, I'll give the perfect example of that. If you remember, we had a storm come through Pure a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
I actually have a weather radio and stuff, but I actually had turned off because of the weekly test, which was dumb on my part. I never heard the sirens go off. My first indication was actually rain on my window. I looked outside and saw the wind and stuff flying, and I lost 270-foot trees in my backyard that I didn't even hear go down, and if the wind had been in the other direction, they would have come right through my house on top of me.
Wow.
It is important. If I had the radio and if I had a shower because of the weekly test, it's kind of annoying every Wednesday, it would have woken me up. It hasn't all previous stuff. I had forgotten I had turned it off for the weekly test. But, yeah, it came up fast. It came up sudden. I never heard the sirens going off outside, even though they were. And I live right in the middle of town. You cannot rely on those sirens to wake you up. They just don't get into the houses well enough. So having a weather radio or some kind of app that can alert you is a godsend. I got downstairs and I was safe and stuff. But it was a scary few minutes when I looked out my window and saw what was going on. With the winds coming through and the trees bending over almost horizontally. And like I said, I had 270-foot pine trees in my backyard just next to the house that are now gone. They were totally pulled out by the roots. And like I said, if the wind had been the other direction, it almost took out my neighbor's house. It would have taken out mine. So I have had personal experience in how important that is now. So,
you know, and for the amount of apps that are out there that do it, There was one point I had the Red Cross app installed too, mostly because I just like to check it out and see what the functionality is and how it works. But I've got an app that just shows me radar, and I've got an app from the local TV station that also has the safety net portion installed. And so you'd get some rain come through, and you'd get six alerts on your phone. So it got to a point where I was getting too many of those. But, you know, not everybody is aware that is out there. We might assume that everybody knows, because in our circles, well, we're technology people, and they a lot of people do know that sort of stuff. But I suppose from the MS, they've got to start pushing that. So if there are people out there that don't know, they know to get it installed. And it's nice that it's free, especially from the one that's from the Red Cross.
I haven't pulled the trigger yet, but everybody in my office, employees, highly, highly recommend a weather app called Dark Sky.
And yes,
it's hyper-local weather radar and storm tracker. Mm-hmm. So it's down to the, like, this much rain is coming in your neighborhood type of deal. So it's very, very hyper-local based on, you know, where you're at. It is $3.99, which I know, you know, it's $4. It's definitely worth it when we're talking about safety. But when it comes to apps, people sometimes don't pay anything unless they're free, which is obviously not paying anything. But
you got there. Uh-huh. Yep.
Mm-hmm. So I hear good things there. Joel, it sounds like you recommend it. I haven't downloaded it yet.
Yeah, Dark Sky is a really, really great app. You know, one thing, I don't know the technicalities about this, but I know that I get them. The local service will push alerts to your mobile phone. Carriers have to allow them to push alerts, whether they're, you know, it's a lost kid or an emergency of some sort. And I'm not sure what their level of, you know, what, how bad it has to be or what it has to be for them to push those alerts. But I know I've gotten them. Is it just in certain areas, or is it, yeah.
I don't know. I just pulled up my notifications because I remember this happening in January, and I don't know exactly when it happens or what it happens. I know the last one I see on here for emergency was 25 days ago that it was a severe thunderstorm warning. Clearly, we've had things. That storm that Jeff was talking about.
Yeah,
was
that
in
I kind of expect that eventually that will just get better and better. You know, one thing you can rely on somebody having, whether they even have a house, is a phone that has access to probably internet. If not that, it certainly has access to sending texts and receiving calls. So you're just going to see more and more of that. And it makes a lot of sense for these places to say, you know, rely on your apps to find out what's going on, because, you know, it requires no infrastructure from their point. They don't have to hire people to do all this stuff, and it's just better in every possible way. So,
and if you're outside when you're in town, sure, you can hear the sirens. Not always, but you at least have an opportunity. We've got a lot of rural places in the state, and that's kind of a very different opportunity to be informed, because if you are in the middle of a field and you aren't sure what's happening, even though you can see the sky, this is maybe a chance for you to have a heads up.
Well, and sadly, I feel like you almost need the added information that the app provides, because I know some people are even like, yeah, I heard the sirens go off, so we stepped outside to take a look. You know, like, people don't know that sirens means, like, go to the basement.
Right. And that is the other thing I will say they said this morning was, when the sirens go off, go to the basement. Don't go outside to look. That is not the point of them. So I'm glad we got around to that.
The nice thing also about a smartphone app for doing those kind of alerts is the smartphone knows where you're at. So when you're traveling on vacation and stuff, especially, you know, when you're traveling vacation, you're not checking the local news. You don't know what the local radio stations are and stuff. But the app knows where you're at, knows the alerts in the area, and can always alert you no matter what, as long as you have the phone with you.
All right. That sounds good. You're listening to Tech Radio here on Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I am Keely Boltina, filling in for Kent Osborne. We have a couple of more topics to cover. We want to talk about SQL Saturday and might touch a little bit on the Tesla announcement that's scheduled for just about 15 minutes from now. We'll hit those in just a minute, but for now, here is a quick message. You're listening to South Dakota Public Broadcasting. Tech Radio on Dakota Midday is back. I'm Keely Boltina. Kent Osborne is off today. So you have me and your experts. You hear them all the time on Tech Radio. We have John T. Meyer, Jeff Litterick, Amos Asaph, and Joel Brovelite. And we have a question that has come into Tech Radio, and it's about Windows 10. Ivor from Brookings says, hey, tech folks, I'm wondering about Windows 10. I have several machines with Windows 7, and I'm hesitant to upgrade. My wife has a laptop with Windows 8 and finds it very clumsy. So what are the pluses and minuses of doing an upgrade from 7 to Windows 10?
Pluses and minuses. Well, generic answer to that is don't do it, right? Because on new operating systems, we always say wait until somebody else has had the opportunity to go through and find out what all the bugs are and what the what the issues are with it. Also, you don't know, your machine has to have the specs that are up to date with it. A lot of people are getting that little icon down in their system tray in the bottom right-hand corner that says upgrade to Windows 10 for free, and it's very tempting to do. And I suspect that's why Microsoft's doing it, is to get people to move on. There was a real reluctance to move from Windows 7 to Windows 8, and I suppose with a free upgrade to Windows 10, they're going to get more people to do it. But in general, I would say don't do it. Unless you really enjoy working with new software and working around issues that come up and you're willing to put up with that. If you've got a buggy Windows 7 already and that's what's frustrating you, I would not move on to Windows 10 until there's been... Well, the rule of thumb is always wait till Service Pack 1. So I would hold off on that.
Does anybody have... I mean, is this... as far as Windows 10 versus 7 or 8? Because there's a big difference between 7 and 8 Windows, right?
Yeah, Windows 10 is kind of more of a throwback towards Windows 7 because the big thing with Windows 8 is Microsoft really wanted everyone to kind of ditch the desktop and move to their tile system. Windows 10 is a reminder that, yes, people actually need to use desktops, and sometimes the desktop's a better interface, depending on the type of computer you're running on, than the tiles interfaces. And I think they're getting to where they're both a little bit more in harmony and can work together in a better way. In many ways, Windows 10 will probably be a little bit faster, just like Windows 8 was than Windows 7. But the big thing you have to make a decision on waiting is Windows 10 will be free upgrade for 1 year. That clock will start ticking in July 29th, even though not everyone who signed up, I guess, now will get Windows 10. It will be slowly rolled out. I would wait. I don't know if I'd wait now into Service Pack 1 all the way because of the way the free upgrades and the way patches are going to be done and time life cycles, but I would probably wait at least six to eight months to get all the drivers issues worked out and stuff before I would upgrade and it'd still be free at that point. It's kind of a judgment call. I'd see how the press is. How do people like it? There will be people, you know, around here running Windows 10. Some of us will be running Windows 10. We will have our opinions once it's all out and finalized and stuff. There's no rush to upgrade, but your Windows 8 user might want to upgrade a little bit sooner because it probably will take her back more to a Windows 7 type experience. And if she's having trouble with the Metro interface, that would be greatly improved in Windows 10. So,
is there a major disadvantage to waiting? Other than just feeling like
FOMO.
you feel like you're just left out.
I don't know.
Right.
Yeah, I'm ignorant.
There's not much. There is the new internet browser, which is supposed to be more secure and better, but we'll see. It's going to have some compatibility issues. There is a new DirectX if you're a gamer and you want the very new cards and all the latest features. But other than that, there's no really must-have features to upgrade. And I think most people in business are going to wait, you know, at least 6 months and stuff to see how it all rolls out. There are, you know, some little tiny benefits in little parts. If, like, Windows 8 really bugs you, Windows 10 should be a big improvement on the UI for you. So in those cases, you may want to upgrade, but there's no other real gotcha deals.
I was just going to say I'm ignorant as a Mac OS guy. How new is Windows 10?
It doesn't actually officially come out.
Oh, so it's like beta still.
Yeah. Well, what it is that everybody knows about it because there's an icon popping up in your system tray saying upgrade for free. And you can sign up for the
got it
when it does come out for them to.
I would definitely wait
for
then.
You. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Just with that information, yeah. John's waiting.
It's available to people who have certain subscriptions to Microsoft software. You can get it in various places if you want to play with it in a beta version, but it's not released.
You know, one thing I'll say about upgrading your software, I believe that that's all totally the way to go with Windows 10. But if you're talking about mobile operating systems, specifically iOS, although I would venture to say it should be the same thing with Android, you should update your operating system.
Yes.
As soon as possible. You should not wait. You should, if you must wait because you're just super paranoid, wait a day or two.
Yeah.
But you should always update your mobile operating system for your phone, especially
security,
because you've got
privacy,
security issues. Yep. And just stay up to date so that apps you download are good to go, and you know, it might patch a data hole, you know, that people can get stuff. Just do not wait with mobile operating system updates. Your desktop operating system might be different, although I would say the same thing for a Mac user. Just update if you can, unless you know you shouldn't. But mobile operating systems should always get updated.
That is a little bit. I get it where you're coming from.
And what's counterintuitive, kind of right. Exactly what Amos said, is like the accepted answer is no. Wait until somebody wait a year. Wait till the next release. Right. Wait. Mm-hmm. Don't wait with mobile operating systems, because it's
seems
a whole
like they
different
push smaller,
deal.
More frequent stuff for mobile too.
Yeah, yeah, and you know your workflow on a mobile device or a phone is not as intense as maybe a desktop.
Well, and it's a much smaller target, right? I mean, right. The amount of information on a phone OS is much smaller than a Windows. The amount of things it has to do, and the hardware is, well, it seems there's a million phones out there. The hardware is finite, mm-hmm. and you know, issues are. It's not like on your phone you have to download the driver for your internal temperature sensor. That sort of stuff just doesn't
totally.
Exist. So it's a completely different scenario.
Okay. We just have a few minutes left. We have two things to cover yet, and I want to make sure. I think you guys talked about the last time when you were with Kent, you talked about SQL Saturday.
We did.
That is happening on Saturday, and I did not say this time SQL Saturday, which is what I did in the beginning, and Amos guided me to the right pronunciation. I appreciate that, because now I sound smart. This is a free training event for SQL Server professionals and people wanting to learn about SQL Server. It's tomorrow in Sioux Falls. You don't have to pay for it. Jeff, do you have anything just to kind of give us a brief synopsis? Who should come to something like this?
Well, any SQL administrator of any product, especially if you're running Microsoft, because I guess they're going to be demoing the next version of Microsoft SQL, but it should be a good time for anyone who has to program in SQL. SQL is a language, a computer language, and or anyone who's a database admin. You should get some good insights and have a good time.
Okay, so there are quite a few things that you'll be able to check, but definitely kind of a higher level than something that is just somebody who just uses a computer at home.
Yeah, if you know you should be there, you probably should be there.
Yeah,
right?
you'll know. Yeah, if you question whether you should be there or not, if you question what SQL is and whether you want to go find out all the intricacies, you probably don't want to go.
So I can skip it this time.
Probably.
Maybe next year. Right. Okay, sounds good. And then the last thing that would just be a quick fun round robin. Tesla is set to have an announcement in just a few minutes. And what's that going to be, guys?
Yeah, it's funny because I'd say Tesla does a much better job than Apple, or maybe Apple's intentional on this. But when it comes to secrets, Elon Musk likes to keep them secret. And so all we know is that at 11 a.m. Pacific time, 1 p.m. here in Sioux Falls, they're going to be making an announcement just here in a minute. So we don't really have a lot on it. Some people say it's a new car. It could be related to the home battery they released a few months ago, which sold out in minutes. So, yeah, I just think it's a company we talk about on this show. It's a really interesting technology company first before a car automotive company. We just wanted to throw that out there. Stay
Where
tuned.
Are you putting your money? What's it going to be?
I'm going to say a new car.
Yeah, I would say the SUV. They've been talking about that for a while, and that's supposed to come out in 2016. So now
Release
seems
it
about
now,
right.
About appropriate.
Yeah.
Joel.
Yeah, I'm kind of expecting it's car, but I'm kind of hoping that, you know, they had alluded to it that they're going to put out a lower cost kind of mass market version. I'm hoping that's actually what it is.
What do you think, Jeff?
I'm thinking SUV, but I'm hoping for the car or some new battery technology. There's been rumors that they have something that could cut down about half the batteries they use in their current cars, but we'll see.
We'll tweet it out once it's ready.
Okay, that sounds good. So pay attention to that. And we have used up our entire hour here on this Friday with Dakota Midday Tech Radio. Thank you to our panel of tech experts. We have Amos Asip, John T. Meyer, Joel Brovelite, and Jeff Litterick. We appreciate your expertise on so many different topics. I'm Keely Boltina in for Kent Osborne. Want to thank also the crew in Vermilion, including Steve Munson, Steve Zwemke, and everybody else who's helped with the production of this program. And Science Friday continues right here on South Dakota Public Broadcasting, so don't switch yet. We appreciate it. And if you have any questions before the next Tech Radio in August, post them on the Facebook page, send them to the email, and hopefully the guys will get them answered for you next time. Again, this is Public Broadcasting with South Dakota Public Broadcasting, broadcasting from the University of Sioux Falls. Have a good Friday.